It's March the 23rd, and we are in Yirmiyahu Perek Mem, Chapter 40. We're going to try to get as much of Perek Mem, Mem Aleph, 40 and 41 done tonight. This is the beginning of the story, the tragic story of Gedaliah ben Achikam, for which we fast some Gedaliah. We did the first pasuk last time. We'll reread it, but we already discussed it. Hadavar Shayal Yirmiyahu Me'es Hashem Achar Shalach Oso Nebuzarad on Rav Tabochim Min Harama, the word that came to Yirmiyahu from Hashem after Nebuzarad on the chief butcher sent him from the Rama. Bekachto Oso, when he took him, who Asur Bazikim, and he was chained, he was locked in chains, Besoch Kol Golos Yerushalayim Yehuda, among all of the exiles of Yerushalayim and Yehuda, Hamuglim Bavelo, that were being taken into Golos to Bavel. As we said last time, Yirmiyahu was not supposed to be in this line. He voluntarily put himself in chains. Nebuzaradan was supposed to take care of him, make sure nothing happened to him, based on the direct instructions of Nebuchadnezzar. And therefore, when he saw Yirmiyahu in the line, he quickly took him out. And we also mentioned last time that the word that comes to Yirmiyahu from Hashem is not going to be for a little while. This is all going to be an introduction for the word that's going to come to Yirmiyahu, which we won't get to tonight. It's not going to be until Perek Mem Beis, chapter 42, that we'll actually have the word of Hashem to Yirmiyahu that is being referenced here. Pasuk Beis, verse 2, Vayikach Rav Tabachim li Yirmiyahu, the chief butcher took Yirmiyahu. Vayomer Elav, he said to him, Hashem Elokecha Diber Es Hara Hazos El Amakom Hazeh. Your God, Hashem, your God, spoke about this evil in this place. He said this was going to happen. Vayavei Vayas Hashem Kasher Diber, and he brought, and Hashem did what he spoke. Ki Chatasem LaHashem, for you sinned to Hashem. V'lo Shematem B'Kalon, you didn't listen to His voice. Vayalachem Hadavar Hazeh, and this thing happened to you. Nebuzaradan is simply parroting what Yirmiyahu had been saying for many years. And Nebuzaradan was aware of Yirmiyahu's nevuah, of his prophecy, and he says to Yirmiyahu, what are you so upset about these Jews going into Golus? This was supposed to happen. You yourself said it. Ve'ata, and now, hinefi tachticha hayom min azikim ashal yadecha, behold, I have let you out from the chains that are on your arms. Im tov beinecha, if it's good in your eyes, lavo iti vavel, to come with me to Bavel, bo, come with me, v'asim es eni alecha, I'll put my eyes on you, which means I'll protect you. V'im rabbe inecha, and if it's bad in your eyes, lavo iti Bavel, to come with me to Bavel, chadol, so stay here, don't go. Re'e chol ha'aretz lefanecha, behold, the entire land is before you, el tov ve'el hayashar be'inecha l'aleches shamalech. What is good and straight in your eyes to go, that's where you should go. So go where you wish. You're free to go, either come with me or stay here, but do not go in these chains. The Medrash says that Yirmiyahu was going with the Jewish people because he wanted to be with them. He saw how much pain they were in, and he wanted to go with them. And Nebuzaradan says to Yirmiyahu, you are either one of three things. Either you are a false prophet because you don't believe your own prophecies. You yourself said this was going to happen, and now you're upset that it happened, so maybe you were making it up the whole time. Then you didn't really get a prophecy about this, and that's why you're upset about it. If you truly got a prophecy about this, this shouldn't surprise you. And what are you upset about? That's one. Two, you are someone who enjoys suffering. You like to be in chains, and that's why you're in chains. Or three, you're a murderer. You're trying to get me killed. Because Nebuchadnezzar, if he sees you in chains, he will have my head, because he told me to protect you. So you're one of those three things. That's what Nebuzaradan says to Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is unsure what to do. So the pasuk, next pasuk says, pasuk K, verse 5, Ve'odenu lo yashuv. The Rashi explains, Hashem now interjects. And Yirmiyahu didn't want to go back. Ve'odenu lo yashuv, he still didn't want to go back to Gedaliah. He wanted to stay with the people going to Bavel. And Hashem says to him, this is not the word of Hashem that was referenced in the first pasuk, this is just a by way of introduction. Vishuva el Gedalia ben Achikam ben Shafan. You should go back to Gedalia. This is not Nebuzaradan speaking, this is Hashem speaking to Yirmiyahu. Tells him to go back to Gedalia. Ashahifkin melech Bavel bari Yehuda, that the king of Bavel has appointed him over the cities of Yehuda. Vishav ito besocham, and dwell with him amongst the nation. Oh, El Kol Hayasher Meinech Alalech Esleich, or go wherever else you want in Eretz Yisrael. Go where you would like. So you, Hashem tells him, don't go to Bavel. You stay in Eretz Yisrael. And as a result, Vayiten Lo Rav Tabachim Arucha Umaseis Vayishalchehu. So the chief butcher Nebuzaradan gave him food, gave him provisions, and he sent him away. The Medrash tells us that Hashem and Yirmiyahu had a debate back and forth. Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, either you go to Bavel and I'll stay with the people in Eretz Yisrael, or I'll go to Bavel and you stay with the people in Eretz Yisrael. Clearly, Hashem doesn't go anywhere. Hashem is everywhere already. So what does it mean, I'll go there, you'll stay here? What is Hashem talking to Yirmiyahu about? So what he means is that I will focus, so to speak, kiviyachol, my attention on the one that you're not going to be with. You're concerned about the Jews going to Bavel, and there's also a concern about the Jews staying here. They both need someone. They need chizuk. Wherever you go, I'll take the other one. If you stay here, I'll give chizuk to those who are in Bavel. If you go with them to Bavel, I'll give chizuk to the ones here. Yirmiyahu says back to Hashem, if that's the decision, then you go to Bavel, and I'll stay with the people here, because if I go to Bavel, I don't think I'll be able to be so effective there. I can be more effective with the people in Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash tells us that Hashem therefore commands him now, go back to Eretz Yisrael, don't go to Bavel. Based on this discussion, you stay with Gedalia and with the people in Eretz Yisrael who are going to need your help. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Vayavo Yirmiyahu el Gedalia ben Achikam amitzpasa. Yirmiyahu came to Gedalia ben Achikam, to the mitzpah, that's the place. Vayeshev ito besocham, and he dwelled with him among the nation. Hani shayim baretz, who remained in the land. So now you have Gedalia as the leader, and you have Yirmiyahu, who's the greatest Navi of the time, with the remnant of the people in Eretz Yisrael. There were soldiers that had escaped the attack of Nebuzaradan, of Nebuchadnezzar. There were remnants that had, when the army dispersed, that had escaped into the mountains, into the wilderness. So the officers of the soldiers that were in the field, they heard Hema them va'anshehem, and their men, ki hifkid melech Bavel as Gedaliahu ben Achikam baretz, that the king of Bavel had appointed Gedaliahu ben Achikam in the land. V'ki hifkid ito anashim v'nashim v'taf, and that he also put under his charge men, women, and children, umidalas ha'aretz, and from the weakest or poorest of the nation, of the land, me'asher lo haglu bavela, those that were not taken into Galus. There was a remnant of people left in Eretz Yisrael, and Gedalia ben Achikam was given the responsibility to lead them, to organize them, to set up a yishuv, to set up some sort of a place where they can dwell, where they can live in Eretz Yisrael. Vayavau el Gedalia hamitzbasa. So these soldiers now gather to Gedalia. In other words, they realize that things are safe with Gedalia, and they start to come back, and you have these few stragglers, a few soldiers coming back to Gedalia. V'Yishmael ben Nisanyahu, V'Yochanan v'Yonasan b'nei Kareach, U'Saraya ben Tanchumes, U'v'nei Eifai hanitofasi, V'Zanyahu ben Hamachasi, Hema v'Anshehem. So now we get a list of the leaders of the soldiers. They are Yishmael ben Nisanyahu. Remember that name. He is a big Rasha, as we will see. Then we have Yochanan and Yonos and Venei Kareach. They're brothers, they're the sons of Kareach. They, especially Yochanan, will emerge as the leader of the people, as we will see, and he will attempt to do the right thing, and he will at first, but he will have some trouble later on. And then a few more. Saraya ben Tanchumes, and the sons of Ephi Hanatofasi, and Zanyahu ben Amachasi. These are all leaders, them and their men. Vayishav alhem Gedaliahu ben Achikam ben Shafan ulan Shem Lamar. So Gedaliahu ben Achikam ben Shafan swears to them and to their men, saying, Al tiru me avon akastim, do not be afraid of serving the Babylonians. Shavu v'aretz, dwell in the land, v'ivdu es melech bavel, and serve the king of Bavel, v'yitav lochem, and he will do good for you. Don't worry, things are now safe. Even though they attacked us, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they burned down the city, but they are leaving us alone. They are allowing us to thrive here in the land, whatever remnant we have. V'ani hinani yoshev v'amitzpah, and behold, I am going to dwell in Mitzpah. La'amod lifnei hakastim, to stand before the Babylonians. Asher yavo elenu, that will come to us. Meaning that let's say some Babylonians show up and they didn't get the orders from Nebuchadnezzar to leave us alone. I will be there and I will take charge of the situation and make sure that no one molests us. V'atem isfu yayin v'kayetz v'shemen, you should gather wine and dried fruit and oil. V'simu v'chleichem, and put them in your vessels. U'shavu v'areichem, and dwell in your cities. Asher tefastem, that you were able to grab hold of. Now you will be safe in those cities. Things now will be okay. We went through a terrible tragedy of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We are now under the control of Nebuchadnezzar, but right now things are okay. We will be able to thrive here in the land. They were able to gather wine, dry fruit, and oil, despite the fact that there had been a terrible siege going on for a few years. There should have been no crops growing in the land. When there is an invading army and there's a siege, generally the invading army consumes everything that's around and there's nothing left. Chazal tell us there was, as we'll see later on, an incredible bumper crop, the year of the Churban HaBayis. The year of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the land of Eretz Yisrael produced an incredible crop of all kinds of food. The people starved because they were stuck inside Yerushalayim under siege. Therefore, they starved. But there was a bumper crop. Had they listened to Yirmiyahu, had they done tshuva, had they given themselves up to Nebuchadnezzar, there would have been salvation. The food was growing. There was a bumper crop without anybody tending the fields. There was a huge crop. Had they listened, they would have been okay. But unfortunately, we didn't. And instead, people starved and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Yud Aleph 11. V'gam kol ha-Yehudim asher b'Moav uv'nei Amon uv'Edom v'asher b'chol ha-Aratzos shamu, and also all the Jews who had run away to the surrounding countries, to Moab, Ammon, Edom, and all the other lands, they also heard, Kinasan melech Bavel sheris Yehuda, that the king of Bavel had given a remnant to Yehuda, v'chihivkin aleim es Gedaliah, v'nachikam ben Shafan, and he put Gedaliah in charge of them. V'yashuvu kol ha-Yehudim mikol ha-Mekomos, asher nidchu sham, so all the Jews returned from the places where they had run away to. Vayavo Eretz Yehuda, and they came to the land of Yehuda, El Gedaliahu HaMitzpasa, to Gedaliah in Mitzpah. Vayasfu Yayin, Vakayetz, Harbe Mo, they gathered much wine and much dried fruit, a lot. There was a huge crop. V'Yochanan ben Kareach, V'Chosarei HaChayolim Asher Basadeh, and Yochanan ben Kareach, and all the other soldiers, the officers that had been in the field, Bo El Gedaliahu Amitzpasa, came to Gedaliahu. They had some inside information that they now were prepared to share with Gedaliah. Vayomu Elav, and they said to him, Hayado Ateda, don't you know? Ki Baalis Melech Bnei Amon, that Baalis, who is the king of Ammon, Shalach es Yishmael ben Nesanya, he sent Yishmael ben Nesanya lehakoscha nafesh, to murder you. He Balas, the king of Ammon, Yishma ben Nesanya, had run away. Evidently, there was contact between him and the king of Ammon. And the king of Ammon has now given Yishma ben Nesanya the go-ahead to murder you, meaning he's going to back him up. The Yishma ben Nesanya has the backing of the king of Ammon. Did not believe them. So Yochanan ben Karech tries again. Yochanan ben Karech now speaks to Gedaliahu in private. It didn't work with the public, with all these people coming to him together. So now he pulls Gedaliahu aside privately, and he says, Elchana, let me go now. The Akez Yishma ben Nesanya, I will strike Yishma ben Nesanya, meaning I'll kill him. No one will know. I'll just get rid of him, and that'll be the end of that, and the whole thing will be, I'll nip it in the bud. Lama yakeka nefesh? Why should he murder you? Now, what's the big deal if he murders you? Obviously, no one wants to get killed, but it's worse than that. If he murders you, what will happen next? V'nafotsu kol Yehuda nikbatsim elecha. All the people of Yehuda who have gathered to you will scatter. Va'avda sheris Yehuda, and the remnant of Yehuda will be lost. Because if you get murdered by Yishma ben Nesanya, everybody will get scared. Because they will know that Nebuchadnezzar will get word that the Jews murdered the man who he put in charge. Which means it's a rebellion. Another rebellion of Jews. After he left them in the land, the remnant of the people, even they're rebelling. And we're all going to get destroyed. We'll get slaughtered by Nebuchadnezzar. No one is going to stay here. This is the plan of Baalis, the king of Ammon. The king of Ammon is not happy about this remnant of Jews left in Israel. He wants the Jews totally gone. Moab and Ammon hate our guts. And the last thing that he wants is that there be a remnant of Jews after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, his hope is that Yishma will murder Gedaliah, and that way the remnant of the Jews will scatter, which is exactly what Yochanan ben Karech is afraid of and warns Gedaliah. And Yochanan ben Karech is correct, as is the king of Ammon, as we will see. What we have not found out yet is, what is Yishma ben Nesanya's motivation? Why does he want to kill Gedaliah? We understand why Baalis wants to put him up to it, but what's the motivation of Yishma ben Nesanya? Pasuk Tezai, verse 16. Vayomer Gedaliahu ben Achikam el Yochanan ben Kareach, and Gedaliah ben Achikam said to Yochanan ben Kareach, Al Tase es Adabar Azeh, do not do this, do not murder Yishmael. Ki shekera todover el Yishmael, you are speaking falsehood about Yishmael, I do not believe your report. Gedaliah ben Achikam did not have proof one way or the other. He did not have reason to doubt Yochanan ben Kareach, but he also didn't have reason to believe Yochanan ben Kareach. And generally speaking, if someone gives you information that is negative about somebody else, and you have no information of your own, first-hand information, you're getting it all from this person, then that is classic Lashon Hara. And the rule is, you're not allowed to believe Lashon Hara. This is a rule that is often forgotten, or perhaps isn't known, that it's not just one is not allowed to listen to Lashon Hara, one is not allowed to believe Lashon Hara. That means, if someone comes and tells you that so-and-so is someone who does averos, you're not allowed to believe it. You have to dismiss it. You have to believe that person is a tzaddik. You're not allowed to believe that person is a person who does averos. And also when it comes to other types of things, person comes and tells you that so-and-so is a disorganized shlamazel, you're not allowed to believe it, unless you see it firsthand. But you're not allowed to believe that the person is a disorganized shlamazel, because most of us would say a disorganized shlamazel is a negative thing to say. Therefore, we're not allowed to believe that so-and-so is a disorganized shlamazel, even though it doesn't have to do with whether the person is good or bad. but it is a negative description, and therefore we're not allowed to believe it. Gedalia ben Achikam has no reason to believe or not believe Yochanan ben Kareach, and therefore he says, I don't believe you. You're lying. I don't believe you. The fact that we have to not believe Lashon Hara means that somehow we have to explain in our own minds why the speaker is saying what they're saying. So, if someone comes to you and says, so-and-so is a disorganized shlamazel, and you're not allowed to believe it, but this person who's talking to me is my good friend. Like, how can I not believe it? The person said it. So you have to somehow justify it. You have to justify why it isn't true. So you could say, my friend my friend got the wrong impression. So-and-so was having a bad day, and that's why, you know, you have to somehow explain away the words that you're hearing. If you cannot think of a way of explaining away the words that you're hearing, then you are required to say that the person speaking to you, who might be your best friend, is lying. If you cannot think of a way of making it that the person speaking isn't actually lying, but it still isn't true, you're not allowed to believe it. So you have to say the person's a liar. That's what you have to think. So Gedalia ben Achikam says to Yochanan ben Kareach, you are lying. I don't believe it. Perek Mem Aleph, chapter 41, Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi b'chodesh ha-shvi'i, and it was in the seventh month. The seventh month is, of course, Tishrei. Ba Yishmael ben Nesanya ben Elishama mizera hamelucha. Yishmael ben Nesanya ben Elishama from the Zera hamelucha. Yishmael is a descendant, not of David HaMelech, but he is a descendant of Peretz. Peretz, the son of Yehuda, from whom the Malchus, from whom the royalty comes, he is a descendant. And now we get a window into Yishmael ben Nesanya. What is his motivation to murder Gedalia? Jealousy. Yishmael ben Nesanya wants to be in charge. Gedalia ben Achikam is not from royal blood. Yishmael ben Nesanya is of royal blood. And therefore he says, there's no reason why Gedalia should be in charge. It should be me. Baalis, the king of Ammon, understood this and was able to play upon Yishmael's aspirations and use that for his designs to get Yishmael to want to murder Gedalia. The Rabbi HaMelech, and also some of the other people that had to do with the king, also were with Yishmael. Va'asara anashim ito, and 10 men were with him. They all came al Gedaliahu ben Achikam ha-mitzpasa to Gedalia ben Achikam to the mitzvah. Va'yochlu sham lechem yachta ba-mitzvah, and they had a meal together. So you see how far it goes that Gedalia did not believe Yochanan ben Kareach. He ate a meal with Yishmael and Yishmael's men. Gedalia was heavily, heavily outnumbered and very, very vulnerable. And what happens? Vayakam Yishmael ben Nesanya v'aseres ha'anashim ashahayu ito. Yishmael ben Nesanya gets up and the 10 men who are with him. Vayaku es Gedalia ben Achikam ben Shafan b'cherev v'yames oso. And they struck Gedalia ben Achikam by the sword and they killed him. Asher hifkid melech bavel ba'aretz. And Yirmiyahu makes it clear to us, this is the man that the king of Babel had appointed in the land. That's why Yishmael killed him, because he wanted to be in charge, and that's why now the Jews are in a very, very bad place. It's now very, very dangerous, because the man who was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar was just murdered by a fellow Jew. Nebuchadnezzar is not going to necessarily find out all the details of what was going on over here, and that Yishmael was put up to this by Baalis. And therefore, we have a big, big problem now. So Yishmael murders Gedalia. There are two opinions whether this happened on the third day of Tishrei, which is the day of Tzom Gedalia. We fast on the third day of Tishrei. So there's one opinion is that this happened on the third day of Tishrei. We know it happened in Tishrei. One opinion is that it happened on the third day of Tishrei, which is always the day of Tzom Gedalia, unless Rosh Hashanah comes out on a Thursday. Because if Rosh Hashanah comes out on a Thursday, then the third day of Tishrei is Shabbos, and so Gedaliah is pushed off to Sunday. Some say that this happened on Rosh Hashanah. And really, Tzom Gedaliah should be on Rosh Hashanah, but because Rosh Hashanah is a Yontif, it's pushed off to the first day after Yontif, and therefore it's on the third day of Tishrei, or if Shabbos is the third day of Tishrei, it's on the fourth day of Tishrei. So it's on the first day that we can have a fast day after Rosh Hashanah. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Ve'eis kol ha'yehudim asher hayu ito, and all the men that were with him, es Gedaliahu ba'mitzvah, with Gedaliah in the mitzvah. Ves ha'kastim asher nimtzu sham, and also there were Babylonians there. Nebuchadnezzar didn't just leave Gedaliah by himself, he appointed others to help him out. Not necessarily soldiers, but people to help him out, people who could help organize a community. So he had other people there. Es anshei ha'milchama, and also men of war. There were other people there that were with Gedaliah. Hika Yishmael. Yishmael murdered them as well. He killed everybody who was there. There was Gedaliah and anybody who was with him in that area, in his headquarters. Pasuk Dalet. Vahi bayom hasheni lahamis says Gedaliah v'ish lo yada. It was the day after, the second day after Gedaliah was murdered, and no one knew. Yishmael didn't tell anybody. He just murdered him. Vayavou anoshim mishechem mishilo umishomron shmonimish, and men came from Shechem, from Shilo, and from Shomron. 80 men. Megulchei zakon ukruei vegadim umisgodedim. Their beards were shorn. Their clothes were torn, and they were cut up. They had cut themselves. Umincha ulevona biyadam. They had in their hands offerings for the Beis HaMikdash. They had mincha, they had a meal offering, and they had spices. Lahavi Beis Hashem, to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal tell us these 80 men left their hometowns before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, did not realize the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the interim on their way there, and as they were traveling to Yerushalayim, they discovered cities that were laid bare, totally destroyed by the Babylonians, and they realized that the Beis HaMikdash was now destroyed. And so they tore their clothes. We learn from here that one is required to tear their clothing not only when they see the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, like today if one goes to the Kosel and has not been there in 30 days, one tears their clothes, but also if one sees Arei Yehuda Bechorbanan, the cities of Yehuda, in their destruction, one is required to tear their clothes as well. There is a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein regarding today about whether one should tear one's clothes with other cities in Eretz Yisrael besides seeing the Kosel. And he writes that even though it's true that if the cities are destroyed, one must tear their clothes, however, today the cities are settled. And even though Mashiach has not come, but the cities of Eretz Yisrael, the Arei Yehuda, are settled, they're not in a destroyed state. Therefore, we do not tear our clothes for other cities of Eretz Yisrael. However, the Kosel, no matter what, is destroyed because there's no Beis HaMikdash, and there won't be a Beis HaMikdash until Mashiach comes. Therefore, that will never change until Mashiach comes. One always has to tear their clothes when they see the Kosel, and they see the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, if they have not been there in 30 days. That will not change till Mashiach comes. But the other cities, it depends on their state. If they are built up, one does not tear their clothes. If they are destroyed, one does. But this is where we learn the halacha of tearing one's clothes for seeing the other cities in their destroyed state. These 80 men now have found out on their way to Gedaliah what had happened, and they tore their clothes, and now they know what's going on, and now they want to see Gedaliah. Yeah.
It says they cut themselves.
Yes, it says they cut themselves. Yeah, the question is whether that was acceptable or not. We know the pasuk says losis go to do. We're not allowed to cut ourselves in mourning for someone who died. The question is over here whether it was permitted because of the Churban HaBayis, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, or whether it doesn't literally mean they cut themselves. We have an example in the Gemara that when Rav Elezer ben Horkinus, who was one of the two primary Rabbeim of Rabbi Akiva, when he died, So the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva was banging himself. He was hitting himself. He was so upset over the loss of his Rebbe because of how great Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was and how much Torah he could now no longer get from Eliezer. And the Gemara says there was blood. He caused himself to bleed. So he didn't do it. He wasn't trying to cut himself, but he was so upset that what he did caused himself to bleed. So the Mefarshim speak about the distinction between what he did and what the Avera really is. He did not do an Avera. So the question exactly what happened over here, I don't know. I wondered that myself. I don't know exactly whether this was a permitted act or not a permitted act, but they were bleeding. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. So now they're coming to see Gedaliah. Yishmael knows this. Vayetze Yishmael ben Nesanya likras sam amin ha-mitzvah. Yishmael ben Nesanya comes out to greet them from mitzvah. Holech haloch uvocheh. So Yishmael ben Nesanya putting on an Academy Award performance. He's going and he's crying. He's crying. Vayhi kifgosho sam when he meets them. He appears like he's crying over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Vayomar lehem, he says to them, bo el Gedaliah ben Achikam, come to Gedaliah ben Achikam, I'll take you there. When they come inside the city, and Yishmael ben Nesanya slaughtered them into the pit. He and the men who were with him slaughter these 80 men. So they are also now slaughtered by Gedaliah ben Yishmael ben Nesanya, and they're thrown into the pit. It does not tell us which pit. Let me just read it to you. It does not say which pit. But the Medrash says, back in the days of King Asa. King Asa was a tzaddik, and he was one of the great kings of Yehuda, towards the beginning, after David, and then Shlomo, and then his son Rechavam, and then Aviah, then comes Asaf. Asaf was one of the earlier kings, and he was a great tzaddik. There was a war between him and the king of the northern kingdom, Melech Yisrael, Basha, the king of Yisrael. There was a war between them. And Asa dug this pit to be a buffer between the Jews in the southern kingdom and Basha's army. It was meant to be like a moat. I mean, I don't know if there was water in there, but it was meant to be a way of preventing Basha's army from advancing into Yehuda. So he dug this pit. That's the pit that Yishmael ben Nesanya threw the bodies into. This pit is not mentioned anywhere else. It's not mentioned over there with Asa and Basha. But that's what the Medrash says. So of course, why did he do it? Well, he may have done it just because it was a convenient place to throw the bodies. But why is it mentioned? It's a pit we don't even know about. And yet it's mentioned over here. So it seems to me, and we'll have another reference as well about this, because that was in a civil war. Jew against Jew. The northern kingdom against the southern kingdom. And so Yishmael ben Nesanya here, who's also Jew against Jew, he is throwing the bodies into the pit that was dug during a time of civil war. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Va'asara anashim nimtzu vam. There were 10 men amongst those 80 people. Va'yomru al Yishmael al timisenu. They said to Yishmael, don't kill us. Ki yesh lanu matmonim basad, that we have buried items in the field. Chitim, usaorim, v'shemen, udevash, wheat, barley, oil, and honey. We have all kinds of things. This is another source for how we know there was a bumper crop that year. There was plenty. We have all kinds of stuff that we've hidden. Vayechtal, and he held back. He did not murder them because he wanted what they had. Yishmael needed the provisions, and so he didn't kill them. And the pit that Yishmael threw all of the corpses of the men that were struck at the hands of Gedaliah. So, I'm sorry, The pasuk here says it actually explicitly. Hu asher asa melech asa mipnei basha melech Yisrael. That was, I couldn't remember if it was a medrash or the pasuk itself. That was the pit that was dug by Asa because of Basha, the king of Israel. As I said before, though, this is not mentioned earlier. It's not mentioned in the book of Malachim, where the story happens, or in Divrei Hayamim. This is where it's mentioned. Oso Mila Yishmael ben Nisanyahu Chalalim, that pit, Yishmael ben Nisanyahu, filled with corpses. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Nida that this pasuk is difficult. The pasuk says that the pit, the corpses that Yishmael ben Nesanya, he threw them, these corpses that were struck down at the hands of Gedaliah. What do you mean the hands of Gedaliah? Gedaliah didn't murder them. Yishmael ben Nesanya murdered them. Why does it say in the hands of Gedaliah? And this is where we learn the rule that Gedaliah is blamed for their murder. Gedaliah was a tzaddik, but he made a mistake in not believing the report of Yochanan ben Kareach. The Gemara says in Maseches Nida that he is held accountable for the deaths of all these people because he should have taken steps to protect himself from Yochanan ben Kareach. The Gemara says, but I thought you're not allowed to believe Lashon Hara. Says the Gemara, it's true. He was correct in not believing it. But lemechash mibai. But one is supposed to be suspicious that it might be true. If the information is information that might hurt a person, that if they would ignore it, they might get hurt, they must therefore not believe it, but they must take actions to protect themselves. So therefore, that's why the examples I used before was so-and-so is a shlamazel, or so-and-so is a sinner. Those are things which we can't believe. But let's say somebody tells you that so-and-so, you're looking to hire a person to work for you, and someone tells you so-and-so is dishonest. Now, you're not allowed to believe it. It's Lashon Hara. But lemechash mibai. There, if you ignore it, it is possible that by ignoring it, you will get hurt. That person might steal your money. Therefore, lemechash mibai, you're supposed to be suspicious. And that was the mistake that Gedaliah made. Gedaliah, Graham, was a great person. We wouldn't criticize him, but the Gemara criticizes him, and the Pasuk here criticizes him. And therefore, he is held accountable for their murders. Now, when we say he's held accountable, obviously, he didn't murder them. Yishmael murdered them. He's the Rasha. But Gedaliah is given a degree of culpability because he refused to take any steps to protect himself. And because of that, these people are murdered, and as we'll see, because of this also, the yishuv, the community is now in grave danger. And therefore, he is blamed. It is important, though, to be aware of the fact that lemechash mibai cannot be taken beyond its very clear parameters. Lemechash mibai, which means you have to suspect it might be true, is only when, by ignoring it, you might get hurt. If the fact that I ignore this, the fact that I make it up in my mind, it's a lie, might hurt me, then lemechash mibai. But if there is no way that this information could, that by ignoring this information, I could get hurt, this information is absolutely irrelevant to me, it can't hurt me, it doesn't mean anything to me, then a person is not just required to not believe it, they can't even lemechash, they can't even suspect it might be true. They have to totally ignore it, say that it is a complete lie, it's a fabrication, it isn't true. That's what they must do, which is what Gedaliah did. Here he did it in a situation where he shouldn't have done it. But if it is not that case, then a person has to completely dismiss it. So that, if a person tells you that so-and-so is dishonest, but you were not going to hire so-and-so, you have nothing to do with so-and-so, so-and-so is involved in other things, the people that he's involved with, they've already been warned about so-and-so's alleged dishonesty. It has nothing to do with you. You're not involved. It's in another community. It's not in this community. Then you have to completely dismiss it. You're not even allowed to suspect it might be true. You can only suspect it might be true if it comes across your doorstep. In other words, if it's a situation where it may hurt you, then you're required to take actions to protect yourself. Hurt you, hurt somebody you know, meaning that by ignoring it, there can be something bad that will happen, then lemechash mibai, then you have to be suspicious. But other than that, you have to completely dismiss it. Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Yes.
Some Gedalia is over the loss of Gedalia and the rest of all of these men at this time.
Some Gedalia, as we will see, we haven't gotten really to the end of it yet, but some Gedalia is going to be because of the loss of the community. It's the last remnant of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. When they leave, as we will see, then there's nobody left. And at this point, although the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, but there are Jews in Eretz Yisrael. This is the last remnant. Because of this terrible incident, the community will now be totally gone, and we'll see what happens to them. That's going to be part of we're going to get to it really more next time than now, but that's what we fast. We fast because it's the nail in the coffin for the destruction, not just of the Beis HaMikdash, but of the Jews in Israel. This is the final exile. Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Vayish Yishmael es kol sheiris ha'am, and Yishmael took captive all of the remnant of the people, asher ba-mitzvah, who were in Mitzvah. Now, this doesn't mean the soldiers, but they weren't there. Whoever was there at the time, he took them captive. Es benos ha-melech, the daughters of the king, ves kol ha'am an yish'arim ba-mitzvah, all the nation that were in the Mitzvah, asher hifkid nivuzarad on rav tabachim es gedaliyahu ben achikam, that had been put under the charge of Gedaliah ben Achikam by Nebuzaradan. Nebuzaradan gave to Gedaliah even the king's daughters, meaning Tzidkiyahu's sons were murdered, they were executed, but his daughters were there, and Nebuzaradan put them under the charge of Gedaliah. So now Yishmael takes them, and all the other people, Vayish ben Yishmael ben Nesanya, and Yishmael ben Nesanya took them captive, Vayelech lavor el bnei Amon, now he's going to go to Amon. He's going to take them. Remember, the king of Ammon told them that he's going to support him. So now he's on his way to Ammon. Vayishma Yochanan ben Kareach v'chol sareach hayolim asher ito. Now, finally, Yochanan ben Kareach, who tried to warn Gedaliah, he and all of the other officers that are with him, they finally hear, Eis kol hara'a asher asa Yishmael ben Nesanya, all the evil that Yishmael ben Nesanya did. Vayikhu es kol ha'anoshim, they took all the men. Vayelchu lilachim im Yishmael ben Nesanya, and they went to go wage war with Yishmael ben Nesanya. They were more powerful than Yishmael ben Nesanya. Vayimtsu Oso El Mayim Rabim Asher B'Givon. They found him at a place called Mayim Rabim, which was in Givon. Yes.
Is Yirmiyahu still in Babel right now?
No. Yirmiyahu is with the question is, where is Yirmiyahu right now? He is with the people, but he was not present when Yishmael murdered Gedaliah. But he is with the people, as we will see. He's going to come up again. He was not taken captive, but he's there. Yud Gimel 13. So they caught up with Yishmael. So when the people who are with Yishmael, the captives, when they saw Yochanan ben Kareach, the Eskol Sareach Hayalim Asherito, and all of the officers that were with him, they were happy. Now they'll be saved. And all the people who Yishmael had taken captive from the mitzvah, they turned, and they went to Yochanan ben Kareach. They weren't in chains or ropes, so they had no place to go. They were being led by Yishmael ben Nesanya, but as you can imagine now, there's going to be a little bit of chaos, so they were able to escape, and they went to Yochanan to save them. Yishmael ben Nesanya nimlat bishmona anashim mipnei Yochanan. Yishmael ben Nesanya, he gets away. He escapes with 8 men in front of Yochanan. Vayelech abnei Amon, and he gets to Amon. That's where he goes. And that is the end of Yishmael ben Nesanya. He ends up in Amon with 8 men. He is not taken to justice. Obviously, Hashem takes him to justice eventually. But not at this time. He gets away. Now, Yochanan ben Kareach has the captives. Vayikach Yochanan ben Kareach, v'chol sarei ha-chayalim asher ito, es kol sheiris ha-am asher heishif me'es Yishmael ben Nesanya min ha-mitzvah. And now Yochanan ben Kareach and all of his officers that were with him, they take the remnant of the nation that they had taken back from Yishmael ben Nesanya, that he had taken from the mitzvah. Achar hika es Gedaliah ben Achikam, after he had murdered Gedaliah. Givarim anshe ha-melchama, men, the men of the war, v'nashim, v'taf, v'sarisim, women, children, and also officials, asher heishiv migivon, that they brought them back from Givon. Vayelchu vayeshvu begerus kimham asher etzel beis lachem. And they went and they stayed in a place called Gerus Kimham, that was in Beis Lechem. Laleches Lavo Mitzrayim. Because they want to go to Egypt. They are terrified. They know that Yishmael murdered Gedaliah. Nebuchadnezzar is going to hear about this. They are going to be accused of treason. And Nebuchadnezzar is going to come back and slaughter all of them. And now they want to run away to Mitzrayim. Mipnei HaKastim. Because of the Babylonians. Ki yaru mipneiam, they were afraid of them. Ki hika Yishmael ben Asanya es Gedaliah ben Achikam, because Yishmael had murdered Gedaliah, asher hifkid melech Bavel ba'aretz, that had been appointed by the king of Bavel in the land. What is this place called Gerus Kimham? Who is Kimham? So here we have another interesting connection. Kimham is the son of Barzillai HaGiladi. Who is Barzillai HaGiladi? Barzillai HaGiladi was a non-Jew who helped David HaMelech during the rebellion of Absalom against David. When David was on the run for his life, he was helped by Barzillai HaGiladi. After David is restored to power, Absalom is killed, then David rewards Barzillai HaGiladi with various holdings, cities he gives him. And Barzillai HaGiladi says that I'm too old to enjoy any of the things you're going to give me, so David gives them to his sons. Kimham is one of the sons of Barzillai HaGiladi. Why is that referenced here? So again, it seems to me the reason why that's referenced here is because here we have another historical case of Jew against Jew. Absalom's rebellion against David was also a civil war, Jew against Jew, just as we have here Yishmael against Gedaliah, against Yochanan ben Kareach, Jew against Jew. So again, we have another reference to a previous incident where we had, unfortunately, Jewish blood on the hands of fellow Jews. The Yirmiyahu is there, and they're going to deal with Yirmiyahu now, but they want to run away to Mitzrayim. As we will see in the next parak, in the next chapter, we will discuss what should they do? They want to go to Mitzrayim. What is Yirmiyahu going to say? And again, we haven't gotten to the word of Hashem that's supposed to come to Yirmiyahu. That was how this all started. All of this is an introduction for the word of Hashem that's going to come to Yirmiyahu in the next chapter. That's where it's going to come. And it's going to be about running away to Egypt or not running away to Egypt. That's what the word of Hashem is going to address. And that's what this whole introduction is for. So we haven't yet gotten to the real reason for Tzom Gedaliah, meaning we had a terrible tragedy we just read about. But so far, the remnant of the Jews are still there. So at this point, we would not necessarily have made a fast called Tzom Gedaliah. But we will, as we'll see soon, next time we'll see how that works out with the fast on Tzom Gedaliah, that it is one of the four fasts that we do throughout the year that commemorate the Chorban, that commemorate the destruction. That's Asara B'Teves, which is when they surrounded the wall of Yerushalayim, they laid siege. Shiva Asar B'Tamuz, when they broke through the wall. Tishva, burning down the Beis HaMikdash. And then Tzom Gedaliah, the murder of Gedaliah, which leads to the destruction of the entire remnant of the Jews in Israel.
Rabbi, haven't there been continuously Jews in the land of Israel since forever?
No, the answer is no, there have not. As we're going to see, this is the last remnant. When they leave, as we'll see, there will be nobody left. For 52 years, there will be nobody in the land of Israel. No Jew, nobody, nothing. The land of Israel will be completely desolate after this, as we'll see. Now, the Yishmael ben Nesanya is Mizera HaMalucha. He comes from the line of of royalty, which means he comes from Peretz. Now, at the end of Megillas Rus, where the lineage of David is listed from Peretz to David, it's 10 generations from Peretz to David, including some very famous people like Nachshon ben Aminadav is in that list. So Aminadav is in the list and Nachshon is in the list of the 10 generations from Peretz down to David HaMelech. So in Divrei Hayamim, the Pasuk tells us Peretz, his son is Chetzron. Chetzron's son is Ram. Ram is the third generation after Peretz. It's Peretz, Chetzron, Ram. Then comes Aminadav, and then comes Nachshon, then Salma, Boaz, Obed, David, Obed, Yishai, and David. Those are the ten. So so Ram is the son of Chetzron, who is the son of Peretz, and the line comes through Ram. But Chetzron really has three prominent sons. He has Ram. He has a famous person named Kalev, as in the famous Kalev in the Chumash. Just like Nachshon ben Aminadav is in the Chumash, so is Kalev. Kalev is he's not the same generation as Nachshon ben Aminadav, but he is a cousin. And they share ancestry. And there's a third brother besides Ram, Kalev, and Yerachmeel. Those are the three. Ram, Kalev, Yerachmeel. Ram ends up being the third generation from Peretz, and seven generations later comes David HaMelech from Ram. Kalev, we know who he is, we know how great he was, the things he did. First of all, he was one of the two spies who gave a good report of Eretz Yisrael, he and Yehoshua. Then later on, he and Pinchas are the two spies sent by Yehoshua into Yericho, and he does what he's supposed to do there as well, and he's a great tzaddik. Kalev. Kalev has a descendant, though. Kalev has a descendant, and we spoke about this way back when we were learning Shmuel Aleph. In the 25th parak of Shmuel Aleph, we have the story of Naval and Avigail. Naval, when David HaMelech at the time was running away from Shaul, Shaul was trying to kill David. David tried to enlist the help of Naval. Naval was a fellow Yehuda person, another person from Yehuda. He was family with David, a distant cousin of David. And he tried to enlist his help. Naval very badly mistreated David. And in the end, Naval is killed by Hashem. And his very great tzaddikus wife, Abigail, becomes David's wife. And when we learned it, then we explained that Naval could have been a very prominent person. He could have been, he was married to a great tzaddikus, to Abigail. Abigail is one of the greatest women in Tanakh. And she actually has a son with David named Kilav. Kilav is one of the four people that the Gemara says who never did a sin in his entire life. That's Abigail's son. She's a very, very special woman. So her husband, Naval, her first husband, Naval, could have been a great person. He could have been someone, he would not have been the king, but he could have been someone who would have been a primary assistant to David, HaMelech. But instead, he mistreats David. And the reason he mistreats David is because he's jealous. Because he wants to be the king. He doesn't want David to be the king. He's also Mizera HaMelucha. He comes from the line of Kalev, who comes from Chetzron, who comes from Peretz. And therefore, he also feels he should be in that line. And he also, his jealousy destroys him. He mistreats David and his men, and Hashem kills him. Yerachmeel, the third brother, Yerachmeel's descendant all the way down, is Yishmael ben Nesanya. Is this person, Yishmael ben Nesanya, who murders Gedalia. Because he's jealous as well, he wants to be in charge. Because he comes Mizera Melucha. Coming from the line of Peretz, of Yehuda, is a very special thing, because that's where the line of royalty comes from. However, it can also be a dangerous thing, because a person can feel that they're entitled to be in charge. And it's a very, very difficult thing for someone who believes that they are it's their right to be in charge, and then they're not. It can lead to a lot of jealousy and a lot of problems. Naval is struck down by Hashem. He does not die right away. He becomes like in a coma, and it takes 10 days until he dies. When does it happen? He is struck down on Rosh Hashanah, and 10 days later on Yom Kippur, he dies. Yishmael ben Nesanya murders Gedaliah on Rosh Hashanah, according to one opinion, and we will see that there's going to be a reference as well to 10 days. We haven't gotten to it yet. It'll be in the next parak. Why is the story of Naval, and why is the story of Yishmael murdering Gedaliah, why does that revolve around Rosh Hashanah? Because Rosh Hashanah is the yontif of Malchus. It's the yontif of royalty. That's when we are Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. The time when these people who thought that they should have had some connection to Malchus, they were misusing what Malchus is about. Malchus, royalty, for a Jew, is not about being in charge. It's not about power. It's about being the representative of the true Melech, Malchei Hamlachim, the true King of all kings, which is Hashem. David HaMelech exemplifies being the true Melech, who is the subject of the Melech Malchei HaMelachim of Hashem. And he represents Hashem in this world. These two who wanted the royalty for themselves, they misuse the concept of Malchus, and therefore what they do wrong and their demise takes place around the time of Rosh Hashanah. So it is not coincidental that Tzom Gedaliah takes place at the time of Rosh Hashanah. That's when it happens here, but that's also not coincidental. That is a connection to this issue of Malchus, of royalty, of using the royalty properly or misusing the royalty. We will stop here. Next time, as I said, we will continue with the story, and we will then find out the rest of what happens to the remnant of the people with I hope that we will finish the story of Gedaliah in our next class.